contracting and negotiating, you need to have a better contract rate. As I mentioned, time to time review of your contract, including the cost. If any element of recession is being observed, then the costs have to be renegotiated. If the competition or new properties arrived into the market, then obviously you need to negotiate from time to time into the cost involvement. If there are additional seats available and the demand is being depriving or dropping, then you need to negotiate with the airline. Instead of what you negotiated at the beginning of the season or beginning of the year, that has to be renegotiated because the competition is offering the product at a lower price. So in accommodation, transport, and ancillary product, you need to continuously monitor your contracted rate and you negotiate from time to time. As I mentioned, if there is a recession that prevails, then you need to accordingly calculate and ask for better price than what you initially quoted for. If your currency became strong, you have a better buying power, then you also negotiate. Not necessarily that recession, if the currency goes strong or the currency falls, for example. That's why I mentioned the cost is always done in a foreign currency. Very much in recent years, for example, the Turkish lira dropped drastically because of the devaluation of the local currency. Ultimately, Turkey became a product that was offering pricing at comparatively lower price than what was being offered in the previous year. And that became a hit destination because you got value for money. Very much like United States of America, when dollar was comparatively cheaper in comparison to euro. So a lot of Europeans preferred to travel to US for their holidays, not only for the price, but the value they were getting against their euro was better in Europe. So all these are negotiation and contracting element. Commitment, as the name suggests, this type of contract occurs when a tour operator agrees to buy a predefined number of bids of the season, irrespective of the number itself. So, some number of beds, say for example, you said 500 rooms and you have sold only 70. So, the supplier would ask you to renegotiate because they give you with a mindset that you would be selling 500 rooms. But instead, you offered only 70 rooms. So, that rate that was offered to you was not and possibly would be renegotiated. Or likewise, the currency became more stronger or fluctuation in currencies. The type of contract said that the hotelier will not offer the beds to another tour operator. So if you have booked 500, then you have to sell 500 or at least 480, not from 500 to 250. Because if you sell 250, the hotelier may possibly sell it to another tour operator who is asking for the similar type of hotel room. So negotiations and contracting is an ongoing process in tour planning. And once you are in the tour planning department, then these components have to be borne in mind, especially from international setup, because internationally you would notice such fluctuation keep happening. A destination that was very much strong in a particular year would lose its market presence and would see drop in the arrival, and ultimately they start offering better rate and ancillary services like many countries now are offering visa on arrival for India. To give an example, like Sri Lanka, Indonesia, and e-visas by Vietnam, Myanmar, and Cambodia. You can get e-visa on arrival, which was only the privilege of Thailand in past 5 to 10 years back. Only Thailand was offering visa on arrival. Some countries who have become very strong in their market presence have taken away these facilities. I give the example of Singapore and Malaysia, that these countries were offering Indian tourists a visa on arrival. So in some sort, ancillary service which are not directly linked with the tourism business or tourism tour planning, but are negotiated and rectified because of various market trends and expectation in the movement of travelers. All this I've been talking, allocation of hotel room, if you did not sell more than 200 and you have negotiated and got the rate for 500, the hotelier always has a right to ask for renegotiating the price for less than 50% what you promised to sell and renegotiate the price, and so on and so forth. This we have spoken. Allocation would change because you did not sell 500. They will withdraw the allocation of 500 room to just 200 or 250 room that you have sold in a particular season that you short. So negotiation and contracting is an ongoing process from both the side, from the supplier as well as the tour operator. And this has to be borne in mind. That's why some of the contract, especially if you look at the Chinese travel pattern, Chinese have a different travel pattern. They have seasons changing within 10 to 15 days time period. Chinese New Year, International New Year starts in December. Then Chinese New Year come in February. And then comes the Lunar, and so many other such activities happen, school holidays. So if you monitor the Chinese movement in the Far East, they travel and they have high season, low season, shoulder season, various seasons happening, and rates are negotiated and contracted according to that. Broadly, if you look at the international level, the contracting happens, say for Europe, low season, starting from September end till February or March. It's a low season, except the in-between blackout period of Christmas holidays. That's a high season. Otherwise, snow everywhere, Europe offer wonderfully low prices, but that's not a holiday because snowing temperatures below 10 degrees, who would go for a holiday? So negotiation happen into that also, and we need to accordingly negotiate the price. Ad hoc pricing, ad hoc, which means arrangement involve buying room as and when required. Some of the tour operators will buy as and when the rooms are required. So they would say, we want from 20th October 50 rooms, because example, Diwali holiday begins in India. So we need 20 rooms every day from 20th October till 5th of November, just an example. As an ad hoc, they have blocked and they negotiated for that as a price. Likewise, rainy season in India. For example, if you look at Goa, in the rainy season, many hotels come up with offer and negotiated price for the end user and the hoteliers and the contractor and the tour operators. They offer it, buy 2 days and get the third day free. Something of that nature. That also falls under seasonal variance in the price and contracting. So, as the name suggests, ad hoc means buying for a specific and as and when required. It's for this reason, this type of negotiation method is used by organizers offering tailor-made itineraries. I mentioned about tailor-made itinerary. A group is coming to India, 50 of them, coming for, say, an IPL match, and they are going back. And then there is no IPL match happening in a particular city. So only those number of rooms are required because there are bookings and there would be some visitors who would come to watch IPL. So they will negotiate rate accordingly. And ad hoc is a very costliest way of buying the room. There is no risk to the tour operator because the rooms are only paid for when they are used. There is no risk involved for the tour operator, ad hoc. Now we look at the transport flight negotiation with airline for a chartered flight, a specific flight departing on 20th of March, returning on 15th of April. For these 35 days, they would buy a chartered flight, say from a charter operator or by a specific commercial airline, but they would be paying only for those chartered. Low-cost carriers Scheduled airline, low cost refer to those airlines which are not offering commercial services. They are just offering seat and flight from destination A to destination Z. That's all. Commercial airline offers all services, online services like meal services, baggage, entertainment. All these are part of scheduled airline. So their pricing are different. Then land-based transfers, all these I have spoken in detail. Ancillary services or product that we are talking of, this includes tickets to tourist attraction. So if you bring one tourist, possibly this is $40 an entry. I'm referring to Angkor Wat in Cambodia, where one day coupon is $40, 2 days trip is $45. Just coming from my memory, I'm just saying it may have increased or may have gone down. But if you have a group of 50 people, that $40 per day would turn into $20 or $25, $30. Likewise, an entertainment park will have a different pricing. So that is to be borne in mind. Brochure production, I've spoken that once you've done the research work and final product is designed, allocated, then you need to print. If it is to go on electronic brochure, then it will be loaded on web portal where an end user, traveler, travel agent, tour operator can download straight and share it electronically through email with his client or a passenger. Whereas printed brochures are also required in certain markets, especially the market where holding a brochure is required. For that, you need to do the size and the sales required onto that. Finalize sales and marketing plan. This is also important in other stages in tour planning. What is going to be your sales and marketing plan? How you are going to address? What type of marketing activities you would carry on with? How many staff you would need? What type of a trip you are required? And coming to the fan trip. Because before a product is sold, you need to show it to those who have been selling it or who are your potential sellers. Could be a travel agent, could be a hotelier, could be a media. All this can be taken on a fan trip where the product is shown to them, which is an educational trip for them, and they understand the product by seeing the product by themselves and finally filter it down to their customers. So fan trip is part of a stages in tour planning. A fan trip is one way of showing your product to the seller, which could be a travel agent, could be a media who would show it onto the television channel, or a media that would print it in their magazine or an electronic media that would show on their TV channels. Other stages, operational and administration training, recruitment of specialist staff. Operational and administrative staff training is also very important, because if staff is not trained well, they are not able to sell your product successfully. And the best way to show is take them to a FAM trip. FAM stands for familiarization. It's an abbreviated version of familiarization. In other words, it can also be said an educational trip where you educate. It's not a fun trip, which is mistakenly taken into business as a fun trip. No, it's an educational trip where you are educated about the product that you are going to sell and you have potential to sell, and that falls under tour planning. Then product launch and subsequent evaluation of sale. It happens at every stage. You have to continuously elevate what you are selling and identify areas for improvement, some of which may be implemented immediately. Like we see a lot of such things. Very recently, in last week only, I'm talking that Thailand noticed that COVID protocol was too much, and they are now going to scrap COVID protocol totally, with just vaccinated passengers are allowed to come into Thailand without any test, without any negative report, without any check on arrival and any quarantine. This is an immediate step taken into the promotion of their destination could be a part of a tour planning. Product review has to be done. What is selling? What is selling? What is other product that is selling well? How can an add-on to be put on to your product so that your product get a better understanding and better promotion in respective market? It is important to check the performance of your company's product towards the end of the season. Compare projected and actual sales to consider possible discount that you can offer. But discount is not a good strategy because discount has no end. If you offer 5%, the other would offer 7, some would touch 10, and so on. There is no end to it. What people do in the market is they start offering added value. They offer something as a piggyback or an additional value that they offer on their existing product to attract. Say, for example, an airline would offer a domestic side trip for free if you go to their destination on the same cost that you are paying. That's an added value. Instead of discounting, you have still gained the customer to fly on your carrier to a destination, but you have offered an added value of an additional domestic flight with no cost involved. But yes, the consumer would use other supplies, the other supply chain, like hotel stay, like buying a city tour, buying for meal, doing some shopping. And that's the best strategy that in-tour planning is determined. Then, of course, you have to determine the capacity. If market started getting big number of tourists to your destination, then allow more airline from the region or increase the frequency. If it is a daily flight, make it 2 times a day. Like Malaysian Airline, in the normal days before COVID, they were flying 2 times daily from Mumbai to Kuala Lumpur and tapping business from Kuala Lumpur onward to Australia, toward Far East and anywhere, including Indonesia and Singapore, or further towards Japan and other southeastern countries, including Australia and New Zealand. So that's the review of your tour planning. With the advent of social media, increasing the acceptance supported by the growth of personal or mobile devices, tour operator need to use technology to carry out their business activities quickly and more effectively. Technology use in tour planning is nothing but the software for managing day-to-day business, like we are talking about the app that are operational in the tour operation. It is in the form of tour operator software or tour management platform. So software, what is the tour operator software we are talking about? It's built with the best trip planning and itinerary. So on a software of a particular tour operator, you can design your itinerary, you can search for the flight, you can pick up different itineraries, the tour packages available online through that software, which could be an app. And you can make reservation, you can create an itinerary, you can land in that city and take another flight of that same airline from another city tour operators offer, including multi-destination itineraries through their app or their software, and likewise package bookings, payment gateways through web portal payment, you know, internet payment offering through credit card or internet banking, all are being offered through that app, which many airlines, many tour operators internationally do have. We have such app available for various international airlines and domestic airline as well. And of course, the software that are being used for other back office work, like back office management, accounting, reports, and ordering to maximize revenues. We have spoken on various software, which are a booking engine, can provide booking engine, it can have process of payment, it can manage booking, you can check your PNR, you can check, PNR refers to passenger name record, or checking your booking, very much like you do on railways, you put your PNR and your itinerary is showing if it is confirmed or waiting list, what is the seat allocation. Likewise, the software help you in tour planning. Many tour operators and many airlines internationally are having their own software that offers total services that can be planned by a tourist. But again, as I mentioned in our earlier chapter, that tour operator as an individual service provider would not lose its importance. Why? Because there is a human element involved in dealing with a travel agency or a tour operator, where you can put up your complaint physically in presence of a human being or talk to a human being, as against a web portal, a software with, or a chatbot or any such thing that is developed software. But yes, it is picking up, and major market share is being taken over by these short software who can make arrangement for payment processing, booking management, customer relationship management, CRM, or travel agency management reports. We have looked into this, and reviews and ratings. So technology, we have spoken. Watch this video. I don't know if we can run this video. You can watch this on YouTube, please. What is WeTravel? You can watch this when we have time. Please go this. A link has been provided to you. Please go through that. You will understand WeTravel payment and booking platform. This is warm-up activity. So use of technology, enough has been spoken. I've been talking continuously on this. Especially tour management platform are nothing but the advanced version of web-enabled tour operation software that will provide both the tour operating companies and the user the capabilities to plan their trips. So you can plan a complicated itinerary, from generic to a complicated itinerary, including the component of road travel, air travel, fly and drive, all sort of that can be combined together on this platform of tour management. According to Digitium, hopefully sooner or later, the stage has reached wherein the new world will now require more flexible and secure travel planning and management technologies. So yes, more and more work is going on. For example, still it is difficult for the recreation van, which are very popular in Australia and New Zealand for traveling within Australia from East Coast to West Coast by taking an RV, which is a recreational van, or what we call in our part of the world, a luxury van, which has all the facilities. So a small family, a group of friends, take and rent a van from Australia and go down from coast, West Coast, from say Sydney, and then they go down to Canberra by road, because exploring Australia by road is an experience. That still has to come under this platform. As far as my knowledge goes, this type of technology hasn't come in for that, but sooner or later it would come in. And many other components of tour planning are being part of the software, and they are adding up more advantages, including cruise lining, including tour operation, car rental, hotel booking, all are falling under this technology development. And it is progressing. As I mentioned, this technology has come much faster than what was planned for. It has come much faster, especially in our markets. In our part of the world, we have seen a lot of technological development coming in very much earlier than what it was planned for. Dear student, you are listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and we are talking about tour planning. I hope you are enjoying my talk. We are moving further in the use of travel planning, and we look at various statements coming in from Shirkov, Chief Commercial Officer, Firebird Tours. The company has focused its strategy to meet the upcoming demand, and its vision is for future travel technology. the company has developed a brand new tour building service, Triptile. The name is given here. You can go onto that on the web portal and check onto that. The company has developed or built Triptile to bridge two approaches, planning with a tour agency and provide customer with a better flexibility. So you have taken care. They have linked in a tour operator as well as for a customer. So more and more components and the end users and the supply chain both are linked through this. This is their side. You can see this. Oceania Trip Planner. Now, Oceania refers to the Pacific Ocean and the region around that. Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific Ocean Island. All these other countries like Fiji, all are part of Oceania. So this is a very wide platform that is helping you to tour manage. Thank you. You were listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. It was my pleasure to talk to you. Hope you enjoyed my talk. Once again, thank you.